Hello. Quiet, please. Where'd Mike go? Mike. There you are. Why don't you come on up? Grab a chair. Come on up. Sit over on that side. All right. Welcome to Myth TV. It's easier than you think it is. There's not really a presentation to this. Basically, how many people here actually have Myth TV running? Good, we got several people. How many people have wanted to play around with Myth TV? Okay, quite a bit. How many people figured, yeah, I kind of need to learn a little bit more about it before I actually do it? You know, kind of want to know what I'm doing before I step into it. Okay, it's my job to make all of you feel retarded before the end of this presentation. What I'm going to do, as you can see here, I have a machine that comes up and does not boot. Just to show that I'm starting pretty much from scratch. I didn't have time to get the full-fledged drive eraser so I could pop up the missing OS, but getting ready to start up with NotMyth, which is downloadable from www.mysettopbox.tv. This is version R5A22, which was released Wednesday of this week. This is Mike, I forgot your last name, Mike McLean. He is one of the other Not Myth heads, or is it Not Myth or just Myth TV? Not Myth. So he ran into me yesterday. We started talking. He knows way more than I do on this, which isn't really saying a whole lot, but he does know quite a bit. He's actually got some of the cool stuff going, like pulling digital cable in high def off the firewire. So when we get to the Q&A portion, you know, feel free to ask him about some of those things. But thought I'd do what?
Is that a CD or a DVD?
Oh, this is a CDR. So it'll fit on a single CDR image. I don't have anything small enough to actually hit the reset button. It takes a paperclip, so I'll just power it off. The Not Myth group has taken a product, Myth TV, which in its own is really, really cool, and have made it really simple to get running. And that's basically what I'm going to show you here. Let's see. F3 for help and boot options. Since I actually have a TV out instead of using the... Because I use VGA on my plasma screen at home. That would be what? Yes, you feel inadequate. Yeah, I got it on sale. Okay, I stole it. Yeah, so there you go. I may have to flip over to the VGA cable, which I think there's a problem with the greens on it. But yeah, we'll just... I think it's just supposed to be TV. So, first question that comes to mind is, why would you want to bother putting together a PC for Not Myth when you can go out and buy a TiVo, or you can get a DVR from Comcast, or you can get the DVR that comes with your satellite? And, well, there's several answers to that. You know, some people say, well, I want something I can sit there and screw around with. I can make it my own. That's a pretty good reason. That's one of the reasons why I did it, too. Another reason why people do it is they say, well, dadgummit, I'm paying $50 a month for cable. I want to be able to keep my shows. You know, I don't have the Comcast DVR package. I know, Critch, you've got it. Is there a lifespan on how long that stuff's available? As long as you've got space on that hard drive. So you start filling up that hard drive, and you got to start deleting shows. Can you take the content and move it somewhere else? Okay. So there's several reasons why you may not necessarily want to go with an option like that. Well, you see, the thing is, you don't own the DVR. So if they decide tomorrow that they want to do that, they can.
Satellite and Dish Network in our area last week decided to erase everybody's DVR.
yet another reason to have your own DVR. As you can see, I'm doing really simple. Freak Nick. Pardon me while I go through the fine. Hey, there we go. Myth TV. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and let it start erasing. And basically, you need about 3 gigs of disk space for the base of the Not Myth itself. And then the rest of the space you have on your hard drive is what goes for shows. If you do standard television, uncompressed, you need about 2 gigs per hour.
That's not incorporated right now by default. There are walkthroughs on how to do that on the WikiN forum.
Yeah, there's a great resource called notmythwiki.org. And that's what Mike runs. Okay. You know, you can ask hardware questions because we're going to be formatting and copying here for a few minutes. Okay, so the problem when you ask most Linux aficionados is, can I get X to work? The answer, 99% of the time, is yes. The part that's missing around that is, this is the pain in the ass factor. I can tell you that basically the development of Not Myth and probably Myth TV in itself is really geared around the Hawpog TV cards. If you get a Hawpog PVR 250 or 350, you don't have to do jack. I got a 250 in this machine here, and you're going to see that when I wasn't talking, I was able to do this install in 25 minutes downstairs. Yes, they do. Well, they're not digital, so therefore the broadcast flag does not apply. You can get a 250 street price for $125. Yeah, I've got. No, it's not even that much. The PVR 500, Dagmar, you just bought one. How much did you pay? $138 for a dual tuner PVR 500 MCE. I've seen them for around $125, $130 a piece. Well, I've got several boxes at home. I've got stuff that's under the recommended specs, and it works fine. I've got stuff that's above the recommended specs. Yeah. Let me get the other microphone while this is going. Or next time, I'll hand you the mic before you answer. How's that? Because we want to get this on the recordings. The basic guidelines are: get yourself a 1 gigahertz machine or faster. 512 megs of RAM per tuner seems to be a really good benchmark to go with. And especially if you get like a Hawpog card that has the hardware encoding, the 150, the 250, the 350, and the 500 have those. So they just make it absolutely, like I said, it'll make you feel retarded. It's so easy. Oh, sure. But when you upgrade to the Athlon 64 or whatever the hell Intel's going to call their, processor if they ever release it to the public. Yes? Yeah. The Hawpog cards are straight up MPEG.
But it's the playback that gets you.
The playback is what gets you. So Typically, people go for the NVIDIA cards because they've been having hardware assist decoding for ages. And most of those, most of your halfway decent NVIDIA cards are going to have S-video out. Yeah, or it's MPEG 2.
MPEG 2 does require more processing power to decode than MPEG 4. And in addition, if you're playing those back on a Windows machine, then that's going to be using the hardware assist. Also, this version is probably one of the first ones where the XBMC, which is the Linux version of the hardware assist, is mostly stable. There are a few disadvantages. Your OSD turns black and white just because the overlays don't work exactly right when you're using hardware assist. But if you use that, you probably could get away with a 400 or something like that. Is there a question in the back there?
The question is that these cards that we've been talking about, do they support the 1080i? Again, 1080i is a digital format, and the cards that we're talking about here are NTSC. Now, you can do HD with not MIF, but I can't afford it. I'm married and have a kid on the way. So, however, Mike here has been doing some fun stuff with HD that, correct me if I'm wrong here, doesn't even require a tuner card because you're pulling the FireWire, you're using the FireWire port on the DigBox from Comcast to actually get the MPEG stream itself.
Yeah, as far as HD TV goes, there's basically two ways to get it. You can get it over your FireWire off of the Comcast, which is what I'm doing at home now. I also have, there's two cards supported in Linux that are HD cards. One of them is the Air 2 PC, and the other one is the PCHD TV 3000. I do have a PCHD TV 3000, and that one you have to have an antenna. It goes over the air. It's also supposed to have QAM support or QAM support so that you can pull it off of your cable. However, Comcast doesn't put all the information you need to use it properly in their encoding, so I haven't been able to get that portion of it working yet. But now that greatly increases the processor needs for decoding it. 1080i takes a lot of processor to decode. Yes, the FireWire actually will change the channels and record the show. Right there? The all-in-wonder cards do not work. The ones that do input and output, the video cards, but you can make the ATI Wonders work. They're a software-based card, and they can encode in either RTJPEG or MPEG-4. Format. Yes, the older software-based cards do, but like I said, none of the all-in-wonders will work. If it's a video card and a recording card, nobody's been able to make any manufacturers, even the NVIDIA ones, work for that because they just won't give up the specs for people to write the drivers. They work. The issue you're going to have with those is going to be kind of like you were talking about the pain in the ass factor. You got to go find out. They work with BTTV is the driver they work with, and you got to go find out, okay, what's the card number and what's the tuner number? Once you have that information, it'll work with any card that's supported under that driver. The driver's in there, and it tries to auto-detect, but not all cards auto-detect properly, so you may have to go Google your card and see what tuners and card numbers you're supposed to use for your card. And there's one more question in the back. I couldn't hear the question. Could you? Okay. As far as I know, there's no card with Linux support that has an MPEG-2 hardware decoder that's good enough to do HDTV. The PVR-350s can actually do hardware decode of the NTSC signals, but they only have SVideo out, so they don't do HDTV anyway. As far as recording HDTV, that's real easy because it's broadcast in MPEG-2. You just grab the stream and dump it to disk. So there's no processor usage there, but decoding that stream takes a lot of processor to do that, even with XBMC. All right. It should be doable over a LAN. I have not had much luck trying to do it over wireless, just mostly in my case because I don't have a G wireless network in the house. And in addition to that, the drivers under Linux for wireless are just not rock solid yet. But I know you can run front end, back end, so that you know it's fast enough to actually move those videos in real time across 100 megabit LAN. In the red? What was that again? Okay, he's claiming he got it to work with pre-N wireless, so. And yep. Right, and this is a big question, and unfortunately the answer is exactly opposite of what everybody really wants it to be. The question is, can you use a really low-end front end if you have a back end to record the video? Problem is, recording video takes almost no processing power if you're using a hardware recording card or HD. So you can get away with just about anything on a back end. The front end has to play it back, and that's where you need your processing power. So unfortunately, the front end has to be the one that has the power.
Well, we have protector issues. I can't get VGA out on this thing, or I can't get VGA to work here. And it didn't automatically do the NVIDIA TV out.
All right. Well, hold on a second. Is it booted up right now?
It's booted up, so.
Can we move over to the console?
If we have a monitor. Anybody have a set monitor there?
Are we still hooked up this video?
No, let me put it back out to this and see if we can get the S-video to talk.
Video out on it.
Do what?
Secondary video output.
It'd be the same as I'm trying to get. Of course, I decided to go with the brand new distribution that Mike talked me into playing with, which worked great when I was using a monitor, which whenever I set them up at home, I get the monitor going, and then I go in and play with X386 configs and set it to the way that I want it before moving it off the monitor. Yes, question? Oh, yay. You may have the function key hit. Yeah, that's, there you go. There we go. If you're using the FireWire, basically you have to have one dig box for every equivalent of a tuner. So if you wanted to be able to do two shows at the same time, you'd have to have two dig boxes. PN9. Real original. Well, fortunately, there's already a config file that's made for doing TV here, which actually you can just copy. It's in the NCX11 directory. Or are you going to go in there and hacksaw it yourself? Capital G. Bottom. Oh, there you go. It certainly could. Oh. Yeah. Just copy the one that's pre-made for NVIDIA TV out. So, yeah, you can actually, there is in the NCX11 directory, there is a file called XF86config-4.NVIDIA-TV-out.sample. So you can just copy that one over and it works. Beep. Overwrite. It does have SSH server going by default, yes.
SSH is about the only thing that's on
that. Yep. So, okay. So now we're back at the part where we would be a few minutes ago, or that I hoped we would be at a few minutes ago, which is please enter your root password. Nobody hacks or my box. It's PN9. Okay, so first thing we need to do is go in and set our time zone, because if you're going to record TV, kind of the important thing that you need to do is make sure that you're turning on the tuner at the right time, right? So, we were discussing that at breakfast. Skydog time is actually GMT minus random 10. So they haven't really figured that out for TV listings yet. 10:22, 14:30. Okay, yeah, I'm running behind a little bit. So, yes, we're done. Let's finish it. Yes, I'm going to use DHCP. Let's hope that this... Yeah, have I got a link on this cable? We haven't even tested this jack up here. Yeah, we may have lots of fun here. Well, you can't get your TV listings if you ain't got a net connection. I got no link light. Looks like we got a dead port. Yep. Mm-hmm. Typical. Yeah, there's a port over there, but it's dead. Well, probably. I've got it all the way over at the... So... It may go all the way over to the consuite. We know the one in the consuite actually is live. Yeah, who's going to set up wireless bridging and all that other stuff for us? That would assume that the APs that they decided to put in these key boxes with no ventilation, and that's the reason why they keep going down, is they heat up, and then they get hot, and they shut themselves off. And then they cool down, and then they turn back on, and they heat up, and they... Yeah. Yeah, so it worked before they put them in the little key boxes. Yes. Man, there's going to be a lot less retarded people in this room than I was hoping. I got to get this thing. I got to get a net connection before this will work. Now, technically, I can go ahead and start watching TV, but... You know, what good is it if you don't know what you're watching? Yes, Mr. Droops.
Hey, where did you get the TV listings from?
Okay, so yeah, actually, that's a very good point. There is a free service called Zap2It Labs, ZAP, the number 2 IT Labs. You can Google and get the key. I've got a little myth guide on my website that's got the key listing on it. Is it on the wiki? If you go to the NotMyth Wiki, it tells you what the key is. Basically, you go to Zaptuit Labs, you create an account, and you say, I live in this zip code, and I'm either getting it over the air or I'm getting it through this cable provider. If it doesn't know what it is, you can sit there and create your own lineup of what's there. It then is able to pull the listings. You can do your own. You can put together your own channel lineup. Now, it may not know what your community access is in Podunk, Mississippi. You know, it may not know the community access stuff. It may just say public TV there the whole time. But yes, if it's, you tell it. If it doesn't already know. For instance, anything that's a Comcast or a Time Warner or, you know, any of the larger cable companies, it's going to know. It already has those. Or if it's over the air, it knows what's in the region based on your zip code. Dodson. Okay, yeah, they do the TV Guide channel stuff. Okay. Yeah. Nacho? Yeah. Well, they haven't changed them here since I've started doing this about doing the Zaptuit 6 months ago. I was using a Windows product called SnapStream for a year before that. They haven't really changed the channels around in that period of time, so I don't know. Still no link light. Yeah. Okay. So, yes, I'm a user of NotMyth and an ex-user of SnapStream. The user interface for both are wife-friendly. Very important. Because I've actually got... Do what? No, it means that I give her own PVR so that I can record my... I can record the Sci-Fi channel and she's recording QVC on purpose. But it's Diamondique! the web interface that comes with NotMyth is hands down way beyond... what SnapStream's got. Okay. Do what? I have not gotten the latest and greatest SnapStream because I switched over. I haven't looked at that. Will Pig uses it. I mean, he's got the latest SnapStream. Now the plugins that you can get for NotMyth, because of the community, are hands down way better. Of course, you got the weather plugin that's already standard with NotMyth. You've got the AVI manager, songs. Let's see, you've got the RSS news feeds that are built into NotMyth already. The browser, you can set up web pages to automatically go or to be in your list that you can control with the remote and view. So that's nice. Of course, if you've got MAME, XMAME, you can do that right on your TV as well. The DVD player's built in with it, M-Player. So, what are some of the other really cool ones that you can do? You can have caller ID pop up on the screen when somebody calls. You can have it automatically run a cron job and scan for severe weather alerts. Because you may never actually watch live TV. You may be watching recorded stuff all the time. It'd be kind of nice to know if there's a severe weather alert that really is happening today instead of 4 weeks ago when you recorded that episode of Lost, right? So you can have it pop up on the screen that says, yo, pay attention, there's a hurricane coming. And you can start boarding up your house. Sorry, sis, man. I know, it's kind of... Yeah, that's always a good idea, too, because, yeah. Behind Dagmar, because he's had his hand up longer. the Scientific Atlanta boxes, do you know if they do the FireWire?
Not sure.
Motorola is what Comcast is using for their dig boxes.
The one I'm using is Motorola 6200. I know that.
Oh, we got a live connection?
The
sweet. Isn't it?
Plug report, which tells you, okay, what port and what node on that port I'm getting a signal on, and then go set up a tuner.
I don't think I got a link light.
Do you know which model Scientific Atlanta box you have? I think there is one that's supported now in the conversion version.
Three, four. Well, that cable here is the one we were using downstairs.
No, it's an FCC regulation. It's an FCC regulation. Any HD cable box has to have a functional firewire port on it.
Right, but now Mike had an experience that is probably the wise way to do it. Not all the dig boxes have got the FireWire port, or not all of them have them. Not all of them have them activated, according to Critch here. But he took his dig box and said, "See this metal plate that's on the back? I don't want one with a plate. I want one with a hole." And they went in the back in the warehouse and they found one that had a hole in it. So they were able to produce one that had a port instead of a metal plate over it.
Because they kept telling me that cable boxes don't have a firewall.
Yeah, they ain't got firewalls on them. You got to get cable modem for that. Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm configuring right now. Is I thought I was. Maybe it's trying to get to the Intar web again. I bet it's trying to pull Lurk down from the Intar web. So I've got an X10 remote here. And it works really well. It's USB. ATI makes one, and then I've actually got the SnapStream Firefly because I bought it when I was using SnapStream. But it works just fine with Linux. I also happen to have an infrared keyboard trackball all in one for wireless. So if I actually need to type something in from the couch, I can. But it's handy to have those. But primarily, I'm just using the wireless remote. Do what? No, I'm still working on training the cat for that. But in the meantime, I did get a dorm refrigerator to stick, you know, the lamp on top of. So I just, you know. Yeah. So I think it's trying to pull that off the web, and it's not going to work because our port's dead. I've hit yes multiple times, yeah. Please enter yes or no. That's why. Not Y or N. Yes or no. Back to the man who's already asked 45 questions. Can you sync up multiple TVs to the same show? So what are you... I mean, I don't understand the question completely. Well, if you wanted to be completely in sync, then I would suggest that you get in the Wayback Machine and go back to, when was it, noon, and watch the Dr. Cable Love. Because that's what Ethan was talking about, is how you could actually notch out your own channel inside your house so that you could maybe take one myth box and, you know, V and C into it or whatever, start a show, and then all the TVs in your house will have the same show at the same time. Now, one of the other things that you can do is you can have a nice beefy box. This is my setup at home is I've got a dual tuner in a box that's sitting in my computer room. It's got the big hard drives in it. It's got the noisy fans, all that good stuff. And then I've got just this little box that normally doesn't even have a tuner card in it because I stole it out of my wife's Smith box from downstairs. So I got to get it back. For what? For MythWeb? Shh, don't tell anybody. It's a secret. Do what? I had to add Charmed in for this weekend and the Ghost Whisperer. So, hey, she likes what she likes, right? I've got that box, and then I've got multiple front ends that don't have tuners in them. All they have to be is just a box that can basically do MPEG output with S-Video. And I can pull those from any place in the house that's got a network connection and stick it on TV. There's also a little embedded device. Unfortunately, with the network not cooperating, there's no way I can show you this. This is a Hawpog Media MVP. It is a RISC processor embedded device. When you power it up, it sends out a boot P request, and you can tell it, load up a CramFS of Myth TV, which is just a very limited front end, but you can watch live TV, you can watch recordings, you can change the channel of one of the back-end tuners over this. So some people might say, well, if it doesn't do everything, why should I do this? Well, there's no fans in it, no moving parts, doesn't really generate any heat. It's just got a Cat5 connection on the back, S-Video out, composite out, and left and right audio. So you got a nice, really quiet, very small, easy to hide somewhere in your media room front end for Myth TV. I think I paid $130, $120 buy.com. It comes with a remote, which coincidentally is very much like the Hawpog 250 remote that you get, which I don't really care that much for. So, if I do the 686 modules, is that going to try to pull it off the net? I forget. Oh, it's already on the drive. Okay. So all I'm doing is saying, yeah, I'm not running this on a 586 class processor. I'm running it on something a little bit better, so let's go with something that's been optimized. OMG optimized, like Maxi Z. Yeah, I'm running way over the time that we thought. Yeah, when I'm downstairs and I got a good net connection, I can do it in 20 minutes. But it really is simple. I mean, there's other than the networking and the projector, I mean, it's been really straightforward. It's like, okay. Yeah. And, of course, I won't be able to pull down the guide because I don't have a net connection that's working. But we should be able to at least... because I'm not getting a link with the cable. Not even with the magic purple cable. The Prilosec cable. Okay, so now we're at the part where you actually start doing configuration. And this is fairly straightforward. There's about 1,000 things that you can configure in Myth TV. You don't really have to do a whole lot in order to make it work, though. So we'll just go ahead and delete any settings that should not have been in there to begin with. And delete the channel settings. So the first thing we have to do is we tell it, now if you had a back end somewhere else and this was going to be a front end only install, you just change your IP address from Myth TV to wherever the back end is. And that's pretty much all you have to do. I mean, it's that simple. Then you can actually take out the parts that you don't need, like the MySQL database you don't need on a front end. You don't need Myth back end to actually run. The front end gets it, it's actually a proprietary protocol. But it, yeah, it's the Myth protocol. Right. Yeah. Yeah, it just transmits basically a stream. You can go in and tell it where you want to put, if you have your own file systems layout that you put in there. You know, you do all kinds of tweaking.
But this,
But you don't have to. It's just hit enter.
Boom.
Yeah. So the first thing you have to do is tell it, where's my capture card? All right, well, I've got an MPEG-2 encoder card because I've got a Hauppauge PVR X50 or a 500. I've got the 250. So, and my default input is tuner 0. And my card's defined. Ooh, that's so tough. This one's going to be fun because it wants to try to pull the channel line up off of... I can't even do anything with this, can I? I'm just going to have to cancel this, right? Or I can at least give it a name here. Cable. Okay. So then all I do is I map. Video 0 is my device, and tuner 0 is the cable video source. All right, so now it knows that cable is what's attached. Because if you had, let's say, an antenna on one card and you had cable TV on the other, you'd need to know which video source is coming through which tuner. And then if I don't do channel editor, I can't get any channels. We have yet another cable coming. Day late and a dollar short. So. Yeah, I'm trying to do a channel scan to see if it'll pick up what's on there. Whatever. Okay. I said I know what I'm doing, but not really. So.
Strange.
Yeah, I've never really done it without having the net connection. I probably should have done that just to see how badly it would screw things up. So I've converted Mirage to using Myth TV. So he now has, 26 episodes of classic Buck Rogers? So see him for the Wilma Deering in spandex. Yes, Gary Coleman as president. That's the best thing. Yes. Oh, gosh, I'm watching TV. It's so hard. So, yeah, I mean, basically, once you get the thing running. So the default, I'm sorry, what was your question again, John?
The normal setup for a Myth TV box, like that one, do you have two video cards in there?
Normal setups, whatever you want. I mean, you can go with one or you can go with two. The number of video cards?
Yeah.
Well, you've only got one TV, right? Yeah. Plugged into that. Well, capture is an input card, and your output is what goes to TV. So, right. So, right. Well, you'd have a tuner card, which is just what pulls in. Now, there are people who've gotten the ATI All in Wonder, which is a single. Yeah, we're watching football now. The ATI All in Wonder is a card that people have. What? What do you want to see? Okay. Yeah. So you can do the ATI All in Wonder, but only if you really that's remember the pain in the ass factor that I mentioned? That's an exponential pain in the ass factor for the
I don't know anybody that's gotten the All in Wonder.
Yeah, the All in Wonder. Yeah. Right. So
the only one that I know of that does both is the PVR 350, and it is still a little bit of a pain in the ass, although
yeah, the overlay mode's kind of a for the 350. Now, my recommendation, and you take it with a grain of salt, okay? I like the Enforce 2 motherboards because the Enforce 2 motherboard has already got an NVIDIA GeForce graphics processing unit built on, and it doesn't even have a fan on the graphics processor. So the only fan you're going to have is the one on the CPU. And depending on how hot you're going to run it, you make it get away with just a really big, fat heat sink. So you can go with a quieter system that way. Typically, if you go out and buy an NVIDIA card today, it's going to have a fan on the GPU. So this is an older, but it's for the AMD Socket A processors, but it works really well. It's got your network built into it already. It's got S-Video out on the motherboard, so, I mean, you're set. It's got VGA on the motherboard. It'll support up to like 4 gigs of RAM, which is plenty enough for a PVR box. If you're trying to do not myth and something else, I really would like to discourage that, because not myth is really made to work as just not myth. If you're trying to make it, well, I'm gonna dual boot and I'm gonna run, you know, Windows so I can play World of Warcraft, whatever. That's just not a good option, because, I mean, what's the point of having a box that'll automatically turn, you know, tune the channel and record the TV for you if it's not gonna be booted up in the right OS? Or you need a motherboard that has the video built in, and that's what I'm saying. This box here has everything on the motherboard except for the TV tuner. So I've got one card in this box. So that makes it really nice.
And the video card that most people use, you mentioned in fans, a lot of people are using the 5200 in the video, because they have a fan with 5200, which has S-Video, DVI, and VGA. And they're only about $50.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, well, I mean, you've got Debian. I mean, not myth is Debian, right? And there's the radio. I think the radio program's even on there, isn't it?
There's something on there. I don't know how much.
If not, it'll take you 10 seconds to apt-get the radio app, right? So, I mean, you can do that. And I haven't found a really good application that does the equivalent of a PVR for radio. Because, I mean, there's radio shows that I really like. There's a lot of talk about it, but it hasn't really been. Most people are coming up with basically cron jobs. They say, yeah, do a cron job and, you know, do this and then encode it to MP3 afterwards. Are there, what are the names? Well, what good are you? Yeah. Yeah, when I get the internet connection, I can look it up. Well, I got 5 minutes left, so it's kind of, yeah, a moot point. But actually what I'll do is probably move this back downstairs after a while. And if anybody wants to find me down in the ballroom and just play around with Myth and see how the recording works. And, I mean, there's other really cool stuff you can do. Like, once you've, the video editing is the other thing, is people say, well, yeah, all right, you got your video file. Well, how about the commercials? Well, that's another good aspect of having the PVR. Depending on what kind of show you're watching, it's really good at detecting the commercials. And even when it's not really good at detecting the commercials, it's really easy to even use the remote control to very quickly go in, flag where the commercials are, and then you simply tell it, okay, transcode it, and it will encode it to XVID or to VCD resolution. What are some of the other ones you can do? Well, XVID, DivX. Yeah, you can if you got a codec, you can export or transcode the video to that. And in the transcoding process, you tell it to enable the cut list, and it'll go through, and wherever you mark that there's a commercial that begins or ends, it'll just say, all right, I'm not gonna bother transcoding it, I'll just skip it and go on. So, you know, I've got a lot of videos, you know, I keep like the Sci-Fi Channel, Battlestar Galactica. Yeah, and Tripping the Rift. You know, I got those with all the commercials cut out because I don't want to watch the commercials. I want to watch my shows. Yes? Well, let's see. Can I get to channel 16? Since I couldn't download a profile? I don't think it's... Yeah, it's not going to... What channel am I on? I think it's stuck with 2. Yeah, because I couldn't download a channel guide, a channel lineup. That is the problem, is that you have to have a channel guide in order for this to work. If you do not get the channel guide, you get channel 2.
That channel guide includes all of your frequencies for your different channels.
Yeah, although I can probably go in and, let's see, if I do... Yeah, what's this GUI crap? Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying. Oh, it's the Myth TV setup where you tell it what. I could probably tell it to start always. Whenever you start TV, always start on channel such and such. I could probably switch it to 16 and it would work.
Yeah, maybe.
But it may not know the frequency table. So, but this is oh yes, another question. I have a DVD burner right here, and yes, you can. And there are some. Let's see. Not Myth Menu here. Let's see. We can restore the so. If you do an upgrade, you need to back up your database first, which Mike was fine, nice enough to tell me. That's the reason why my upgrade the last time didn't work properly, and I lost all my shows. But you back it up first, and then you can do a restore. You can create an MPEG 4 CD.
Well, that's to read. If you have to
I'll read one. Okay.
But where you can burn it from the interface, and this version, the latest one,
actually works.
Actually has a web place to burn DVDs as well. You go to the web interface, so there's two ways to burn DVDs. You can go to your computer, go to that one, and go back to your computer.
Yeah, what is a KVCD? Stumped him. Okay. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it may be. Isn't there a live CD distro that's basically just enough to be able to boot up the operating system and play?
Yeah.
That may be what that is. Yeah. So, but as you can see, it really isn't that difficult. How many people are going to try this now? Okay. That's the cool thing, and that's really the main reason for having the talk here, is to show you that, yeah, for the longest time I was, you know, listening to people say, yeah, I was trying to set up Myth TV, it was a real pain in the ass, you know, and so I didn't do it. And then finally I said, all right, I'm going to give it a try. And I did, and it was just that simple. So now that I've shown you how simple it can be, and it'd be even easier if you got a net connection that's live, then should be good to go. The other thing that I would say is create your Zap2It Labs account. Create it before you even start laying the image down on the hard drive, because it took about an hour to activate my account. So you want to get it started before you actually get ready to use it. Any other questions? We've got a couple minutes left and that's it. Yes? You got some blanks. I didn't bring any blanks with me. But I'm sure the InLug folks have got lots and lots of blanks. A few at least. So, yeah, they should be able to get it. But yeah, I've got the R5A22 here, or we can download it off the net.
And there's one other thing that was added, which is really kind of cool with this last version, is it's a plug-in.
Yeah, one of the things that was added in this last version that I think is really cool, it's a plug-in called Myth Stream TV, and you can go to the web interface and then actually choose the bit rate and the size that you want, and it will stream it. Like if you have that web interface available on the net, you can be at work and go click, click, click. I want a 300 kilobit stream in this codec, and boom, it'll pop up media player or M player or whatever, and stream
VLC,
it to
right?
you.
It's
yes,
VLC, yeah.
Yes. Uses VLC to convert it and stream it. Well, exactly. You know, unless they've got all the security stuff people have been talking about all weekend to block that kind of stuff. Yeah.
But, yep, I'll have this set up down. Greg, you had a question real quick?
Yeah, there's that export functionality, the transcode.
Uh-huh.
Is that built into the Myth UI, or is that something you do separately in
those? The, which export you were talking about?
The transcoding.
Oh, the transcode. Okay, so you can either set up a profile that says, whenever I've got a video that's created, like such and such, you know, that's MPEG-2, I want to automatically transcode it to XVID. And you can have that happen automatically. I don't do that because the commercial cutting is not 100% accurate. Okay, so I skip that part. Or you can tell it not to cut the commercials, and you'll go back and cut them later. But to me, that seems kind of, you know, what's the point? But there's a utility, a command line utility that's available that's part of .myth already installed called NUV export. Because the files, even though they are technically MPEG-2, the extension is NUV for NUPL video, and you can do a little Apache trickery to make it send it as an MPEG file. But
I think they're actually changing that.
They're finally going to change that, yeah. But if you're not using one of the PVR cards that does MPEG-2, then it really is a format that basically you need AVI-2 There's a AVI2 Demux, I think, is the name of the... There's a cross-platform utility called, I think, AVI2 Demux that's available for Windows, for Mac, and for Linux that'll read NUPL videos and allow you to edit them. It's a editing program. Yes? I typically stick with the higher bitrate formats as it is. Almost everything I end up transcoding to SVCD. So I really only see a resolution change. I don't see much anything else. I know Mirage does a lot of stuff to DivX. Or is it XVID or DivX that you're doing? Yeah, so have you noticed any issues with... Right. What's the file size typically for 1 hour without the commercials in XVID format for you?
About
360 megs for 1 hour, which is really 44 minutes after you cut out all the commercials for broadcast television in XVID format.
And there is something that's included in this one. I think it's included by default here, but someone created a little script that if you want to leave it in MPEG-2, don't have to worry about losing quality, but you want to actually cut the commercials out. They've got a MPEG-2 cut, I think is what it's called, and it basically does like a dot chop, you know, group of pictures chop, and it just removes the commercials without transcoding anything. Of course, you don't save a whole lot of size, you know, because you're still MPEG-2.
Yeah, you save definitely.
Right.
Okay, well, I'm out of time. Oh, Droops has got more copies of the BBS documentary in the back. He's whoring them out. If you give him an extra $5, he may even dance for you. All right, thank you, everybody. I appreciate you. Sorry we had a couple of glitches, but like I said, I'm going to get this set up downstairs, and we'll play around with it, and you're welcome to come around and take a look. And if you've got blanks, I'll be happy to burn a copy for you. Thanks a lot.